Jeffrey DeMaso, editor at the Independent Vanguard Advisor, is here. And we're talking buying the manager and buying funds and the ETFs now on the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that determines their buys and sells, what they see happening broadly on the market, and how they put it all together. And my guest today is Jeffrey DeMaso. He's editor at the Independent Vanguard Advisor. That is now the only newsletter dedicated to Vanguard investors. It is the successor to the Independent Advisor for Vanguard Investors, which Jeffrey worked on with Dan Wiener. And when that, for business reasons, was kind of put out of existence the way it had existed by its publisher, Jeffrey went independent and he started the Independent Vanguard Advisor, which you can learn about at independentvanguardadvisor.com. Jeffrey DeMaso, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Chuck, thanks for having me.
We always start with methodology, and I did half state it correctly and half state it incorrectly in that introduction, because we're talking about buying the manager, and yeah, that means we're talking about buying funds and ETFs. But for you, it's all about buy the manager, don't buy the fund. So explain how that actually works.
Yeah, so that is a big part of our approach here. And really what it was born out of was two things. One, not that many active managers actually outperform the indexes. So it's really about getting to know managers that you think can outperform, understanding what they do, and being very, very selective with them. But then also just an acknowledgement that within the industry and what you tend to see out there is the track record of a mutual fund and not necessarily the track record of a manager. And it's the manager that matters. So sometimes a manager might leave a fund and then someone new comes in and it's a different strategy. So the old track record doesn't matter. So you kind of need to be aware of those changes. But then the other part that, you know, you and I don't talk about as much, but is really the idea of spending time in the market. And that is just, we think the stock market is a great way to compound your wealth over time, protect against inflation over time. And so if you kind of marry the two, the idea behind buying the manager and not the fund is finding managers that you have confidence in and that you think can help you navigate the markets and help you spend time in the markets. And frankly, if that means buying an index fund, go for it. I think index funds are great, low cost, diversified, tax efficient. They check a lot of the boxes. And if they help you spend time in the market, that's what counts at the end.
In terms of what you're buying and how you're setting down a portfolio, I mean, as I understand your investment methodology, I'm not casting aspersions on the Independent Vanguard Advisor, but it would be like the most boring portfolio update evaluation ever, because my picture of what you do in terms of, you know, hey, great funds. Manager stayed with them, you're staying with them. Like, yep, don't change this month after month, year after year. When you are buy and hold, buy the manager, stick with the manager. How much movement do you make? How important is it that you're not forgetting it, but that you are setting it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard part, right? And look, calling it boring, I don't find offensive at all. I think keeping things simple, I think making fewer changes, but trying to make those changes you make count is what matters and is the way to approach long-term investing. But look, that's maybe the hardest part is you find a manager that you like and that you have confidence in, you understand what they do, how they go about picking stocks. But look, not every manager outperforms all the time. In fact, I would say no manager outperforms all the time. So if you're going to buy an active fund, active just means that it's going to look different than the market and it could outperform at times and underperform at times. So the hard part is saying, okay, I found this manager, I've done my homework, I've now invested, and oh boy, they've gone through a period of underperformance. What do I do now? Do I jump ship or do I hold on? And that's one of the hardest calls to make, I think, when you're going to go down the road of active management.
Does it also make a difference? I mean, Vanguard has a fund for every flavor, as we'll discover when we get into Quick and Dirty. Does going into specialty funds, as opposed to saying, you know, hey, let me get their total stock market fund, or let me get something that's big and broad. When you start to say, oh, I want communication services, or I want consumer staples, or whatever, is that where you're going? If I'm going to start to cut things more thinly, I'm going to have to also be more active to respond to it properly?
Look, I guess there's lots of ways to be an active manager, right? To your point, you can use, you know, passive sector index funds and be extremely active if you're going to trade them a lot. I think it's a matter of trying to say, me as an investor, what is my edge? Where do I think I can do well? And for some, that might be actively trading sectors. For me, that's not it. I think what I do well is partner with active managers, put them together in a diversified portfolio, and then I try and be patient. But for someone else, doing well might simply be, I'm going to buy total stock market and I'm going to have really good behavior. I'm going to consistently add to it. I'm not going to panic when the market goes up and down. I'm going to do all of those kind of good investor long-term behaviors. And that's going to get me to where I need to be in the end. And so again, it's kind of like know thyself as an investor and lean into that rather than trying to be someone else.
In terms of current market conditions, I mean, we have a market that has not been super directional, right? You've been led by a few big stocks and, you know, the market has rallied more based on a few things than the market itself rallying. But are these conditions easier or harder for you to kind of make the headway and the progress you want to make?
Yeah, look, it's a challenging market. As you said, kind of whatever, the FANG stocks or the Magnificent Seven or Super Seven or whatever we're calling them these days. And there's no way around it that, let's just call it the S&P for simplicity. The S&P has been the place to be for the past decade, dozen years. And so that means if you've diversified and if you own smaller stocks, if you own international stocks, if you own any bonds in your portfolio, you kind of feel pretty silly. And you're like, why didn't I just buy the S&P? That was the place to be. And it's easy to look back and say, I should have just owned that. And it challenges people's perspective on what it means diversified and if diversification is worthwhile. And I firmly believe that it is. But the idea behind diversification is that you aren't going all in on one outcome. So that would be just owning the S&P and hoping that large cap US stocks, particularly a handful of tech stocks, continue to drive the performance and acknowledging that, hey, I don't know what the future is going to bring. And so that means I'm going to own a wide range of different assets, again, from large cap to small cap, US, foreign. I might mix in bonds depending on the risk level. Then it's just trying to not benchmark against the market. Like, where does it say that to achieve your investment goals, you need to beat the S&P 500? It's not written anywhere, but we all do it. We're all competitive. It's splashed across the media every day. And it's fair to try and judge people, you know, particularly professional managers, against it. But when you look at your portfolio and your returns, it's not necessarily relevant to what you're trying to achieve.
Let's talk about just one or two funds that you consider perfect exemplars for why you want Vanguard, why you want this manager, et cetera. And then we'll kind of let the audience decide the rest of the funds we're going to talk about today.
A really good example is Vanguard Dividend Growth. It's sub-advised by Wellington Management. It's an active fund. The lead manager is Don Kilbride, although he is handing the reins over to Peter Fisher at the end of this year. So we can talk about that and what that means. But this is a fund and approach that buys large U.S. companies that can grow their dividends. They're stable. And I think this fund serves really well as kind of a core of someone's portfolio. But it is active and, you know, there's some stuff to realize with it. So the big one is that it tends to be more defensive. So last year is a great example. The fund did relatively well. It was down around 7% while the S&P was down closer to 20%. That's great. But this year, when the particularly when the S&P was rallying in the spring and into the summer, dividend growth didn't participate in that to the same extent. So that's a fund where, depending on when you look at it, you might say, I love this fund in 2022. This was great. It really held up well and was a nice balance in my portfolio. But if you looked at it over the past, call it 9 months, you'd be like, why would I ever own this thing? And it comes down to really understanding what the fund is, why you own it, and trying to look at it over the long-term perspective.
The last question I was going to ask before we got to Quick and Dirty was, what makes you sell? And of course, it's by the fund, not the manager. So maybe let's go back and use that Vanguard Dividend Growth side of things. It doesn't sound like you're selling just because there's a manager change, but how do you deal with manager change and decide this manager I'll ride it out with and that manager, they're on the watch list or maybe on the outs?
Look, let's stick with dividend growth because it's a great example. It's going through manager change. And this was a case where I was able to get on the phone and have an interview with Don Kilbride and Peter Fisher, the two managers. And I've interacted with Don over the years, so I understand his approach and philosophy. So this was a chance to understand, you know, how Peter fit into the mix, if he shared the same approach and philosophy. And you know, as I shared with subscribers and sharing that interview, is that Peter and Don have been partners for a number of years. Peter has been kind of Don's right-hand man. He's run the strategy, or at least the approach of the strategy, in overseas funds. So like a foreign international dividend growth strategy, which Vanguard's actually going to launch a version of in the next month or two. But it was a chance to say, okay, like, yes, there's a change happening here. Don's handing off the reins. He's still going to be at the table. He's not retiring. So Peter's still going to have him as a resource. And it seems like there's no change in the strategy. Peter's shown he can execute it well in other places. So that's a case where I'm willing to say, I'm willing to see how this goes. And I'm willing to give Peter some time to see how he continues to execute the approach and philosophy that Don built. And so that's a case where I'll stay the course. But there's other times where, you know, manager change might be more abrupt. You know, it might not seem to be as well, you know, thought out in terms of giving both managers time to work together on the strategy, communicating it in advance. So this, again, this seems like a case where, yes, there is a change in manager, and that is material, and we have to be aware of that. But there's no change to the approach, to the philosophy. It seems like there's a lot of reasons why they could continue to execute as they have.
Well, now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some funds and ETFs that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
Money does not grow on trees. So you want to be able to find the right vehicles to grow your money. Vanguard funds, very popular with a lot of investors. Want guidance on Vanguard funds? No better place than the Independent Vanguard Advisor. Jeffrey DeMasso, my guest, is editor there. Learn more at independentvanguardadvisor.com. Quick and Dirty is our lightning round. We're going to take as many names as we can and try to get as many names from Vanguard, but also as many names from the audience, because we got a lot of Vanguard requests. So we're going to jump in with the things that have like three people requesting them, starting with Vanguard U.S. Growth, which Richard in Chula Vista, California, Randy in Mustang, Oklahoma, and Paul in Green Bay, Wisconsin wanted to know about its ticker VWUSX.
Yeah, I think that's really a hold for me if I can walk the fence on that. Look, if you think large cap growth tech is going to rally, then that's actually a great pick. The Baillie Gifford team that runs a sleeve of that portfolio is their growth with a capital G investors. And it does really, really well when growth is in favor. But when growth is out of favor, it also really, really lags because it leans so heavily into that style. So, you know, for me, that's makes it a bit of a hold. Not one I'm eager to buy, but I don't think there's not a red flag for it to sell.
Yeah. So hold it if you've got it. Be careful if you're buying more on VWUSX, Vanguard U.S. Growth.
No money changes hands today.
Our next request comes from Mike in Redwood City, California, and Tom in Chelmsford, Mass., and Tom in Smithfield, Kentucky, who all want to know about the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund, VTSAX. But let's add a fourth Tom. Tom in San Francisco, he wants to know about VTI, which is the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund, ETF. So you got VTSAX, VTI. How about them?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to give them both a buy. You can't go wrong buying total stock market. Diversified, low cost, tax efficient, everything you want. Whether to go with the mutual fund or the ETF, pick the vehicle that you're most comfortable with. The difference is going to be minimal. It's not going to change where you end up in 10, 20, 30 years. So if you like mutual funds, go with mutual funds. If you like the ETF, go with the ETF.
It was a bargain, baby.
Yeah, you can get a bargain. Everything you want under one wrapper, VTSAX and VTI, both Vanguard Total Stock Market Index, just different wrappers. We're all buys. Gordon in Downey, California, Ryan in Anchorage, Alaska, and Morris in Bradenton, Florida wanted to know about the Vanguard International Dividend Appreciation Index, VIGI.
Yeah, again, I would give that a buy. I think we talked a bit about Vanguard dividend growth and the idea that companies that pay out dividends and growing dividend streams tend to hold up pretty well in down markets. So it's kind of a nice core holding. Again, as I alluded to earlier, there's a active competitor that will be run by Peter Fisher, International Dividend Growth. It's not out yet, but it's kind of a soon-to-be-launched fund that is on my radar and one I'm very curious about.
So keep an eye out for that. Meanwhile, if you're looking to buy Vanguard International Dividend Appreciation Index, VIGI, is a buy.
Buy, buy, buy.
Buy, buy, buy. Yeah.
One more broad fund. Dave in Beaver Dams, New York. Paul in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Both wanted to know about Vanguard Midcap Value Index. And let's compare that with Vanguard Midcap Value, VOE, for Richard in Chula Vista, California.
Yeah, I would give that a buy as well. The, you know, value stocks have underperformed. Growth stocks, I mean, over the past decade, the margin of outperformance is pretty dramatic. Markets are cyclical. At some point, you know, value stocks will come back into favor. They already have a little bit. We've seen runs of it. It's low cost. It's diversified. I might consider U.S. value factor ETF over those, but they're fine as well.
So again, not necessarily a rousing buy. Vanguard value factor might be the one there, but a buy nonetheless on Midcap Value Index, VMVAX, and Midcap Value, the ETF, VOE.
Let's make some money.
Let's get into a couple of more interest-oriented funds in the limited time we have left. Stan in Driftwood, Texas wants to know about Vanguard Consumer Discretionary, VCR.
Ooh, I think, okay. I don't think I have an edge when it comes to short-term sector movements. What I would say with VCR is it is going to be very concentrated in the top couple holdings. So I would pop the hood, look at the top few stocks, see how you feel about them. If you're going to twist my arm, I'd give it a sell. I just think some of those large cap stocks are probably due for a little bit of a, you know, relative lag compared. I think small caps, I think value, I think international might be due for a run of outperformance. But let me hedge there and say, you know, pop the hood, look at the first few stocks, see how you feel about them.
So we can sum it up with two sounders.
Buyer beware, dude.
Yeah, buyer beware, dude. But then to the conclusion that you're probably going to go.
And now for the profit taking.
Yes.
Gordon in Downey, California, Dan in Williston, Vermont, both wanted to know about Vanguard Energy, VDE.
Yeah, again, I think for energy, I guess kind of give it a little bit of a buy, but this is one where the time to buy was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when I think energy went negative, oil futures went negative around the COVID panic. And that clearly wasn't sustainable. And oil prices are now closer to $90-$100 a barrel. So we've already seen a really big move in that space, which I guess leads me to be a little more cautious on the outlook for an energy index fund today.
Sum it up this way.
Sorry, you're too late.
Yep, that's a sell on Vanguard Energy, VDE. And last, for Tony in Henderson, Nevada, Vanguard Global XUS Real Estate, VNQI.
Oh, global exercise. So I think real estate is actually fairly interesting right now, if we're just talking broadly, given that it's down around, call it 30%, where the broad stock market is maybe down 10% from its highs. Whether we're talking U.S. versus international real estate, you know, the dollar comes into play there. I'd be more inclined to consider just real estate index in the U.S. and keep it simple. So I guess I'd give that a sell, but maybe keep an eye on real estate right now.
So we finish, well, kind of with a spate of questionable notes. And by the way, that would have applied to VNQI, Vanguard Global X Real Estate, the ETF, and VGRLX. That's the same fund in a fund form, which Mike in Redwood City, California wanted to know. Sorry, guys.
Oh, boy, that sounded bad.
Yeah, but what did not sound bad was Jeff DiMaso here on Money Life. Jeff, this was great. Thanks so much for joining me. We'll do this again down the line.
Thanks, Chuck. I look forward to it.
Jeffrey DiMaso is editor at The Independent Vanguard Advisor. You know the name, you can find it. It's independentvanguardadvisor.com. Advisor spelled correctly. That's with an E-R. And we'll be back to wrap up this week on Money Life, let you know what's coming next week before we cross the finish line. So stick around for that.